Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back, Army football fans. It's game week. Army Black Knights coming off a big win over Lehigh and headed down to sunny Boca Raton, Florida for a little game against the Owls of FAU. Admittedly, this might not be the thing I want to admit on this podcast, but admittedly, when I was doing research for this, was the first time I realized that FAU was no longer coached by Willie Taggart. So things have changed. If you've listened to some of my ramblings from 2020-ish, you'll know that I'm not a fan of Willie Taggart. So anyway, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan, in Houston, Texas this week, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut and Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Gentlemen, Army's 1-0. How are we doing?
Good, man. I snuck into the soups box for this game on Friday with Terry.
He's going to put you in Sammy. I don't know if you have that like recurring nightmare like I do. You know, you slept through a tea or you didn't prep for Sammy, but like I think he can still technically put you in Sammy.
Mine is that I am looking for like a uniform piece and I can't find like some brass. That's the recurring nightmare that I have. But I don't want to get way into it because I don't want to sort of get the guilty punished. But we got in there and dude, it was rad. It was the first time I'd ever been in the Soups Lodge and it was so like it was amazing. So if that's within your price range, highly recommended. That was a fantastic experience this week.
All right. Rob, I'm assuming you did not sneak into the Soups box, but
no, I did not. I had the best view from my couch. So
okay, fair enough. Yeah,
I think it was a good game. You know, we'll get into it a little bit later, but you know, great way to start the season. I mean, I think, you know, from Coach Monken's perspective, I'm sure he's got a laundry list of things that he's working on this week. But yeah. I also think, you know, there's a lot of good that came out of this game against Lehigh and, you know, knocking out a good one against a FCS opponent. It's a win, but it's teachable. And I think that's the main thing is just, you know, something to build on going into week 2.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, crushing Grandin FCS school, but still yeah. A lot of reps, you know, I think you couldn't ask for a much better week 1. You know, you look at some of these, you look at Florida State who goes and they lose to Georgia Tech and Boston College. Like they have not set themselves up for success. So I would much rather beat an FCS team soundly and kind of get some guys some game reps and knock the rust off a little bit. So I think we're well positioned. Speaking of being well positioned, Rob, why don't you tell us about our sponsor who can help well position our viewers when they buy a home?
And but waka 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 going into the read. If you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. You know, she's decided to support Ask for Football this year, and she's the right person to get you to the home of your dreams. Like, this is very much the West Point network at work. Somebody that you can trust. And, you know, she's going to work hard for you if she's working for you. And if she's not, she's going to recommend somebody that can help you land where you need to land. So if you're PCSing anytime in the near future, give Jocelyn a call. She's got a little button on our website with a business card. Fill out some paperwork and you'll be talking to her in no time. Back to you, Jordan.
Thank you. All right. Hey, we've alluded to it. Let's unpack it. Army beat Lehigh 42-7. They beat the hell out of Lehigh. Offense looked fantastic. Team ran for 375 yards, 56 carries at 6.7 yards per carry, 5 for 8 on passing for 57 yards, scored touchdowns almost every time they had a ball. Noah Short led the team 8 carries, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Bryson Daly, 17 for 78 and 2 touchdowns. Kanye Udoh, 15 for 75 and 2 touchdowns. Total of 9 guys carried the ball. New offensive coordinator Cody Worley made a real effort to get the ball out to the perimeter. And that was really convenient because Lehigh tried hard to clog up the middle and take away Army's staple midline plays, but they never found an answer on the edges. And this was something I think that we did not see enough of over the last few years, where we would run to the outside once or twice and then go right back to the middle. So it's good to see that we were consistently running to the outside, consistently getting yardage on the outside. That's going to be really important throughout the season. So I'm glad we were doing that in week 1. Defensively, they played bend but don't break, as we usually see from Army. They gave up 172 yards rushing on 33 carries, but only 110 yards passing. They allowed one big breakaway run, resulting in Lehigh's only score. Played excellent red zone scoring defense, 2 turnovers on downs, 2 interceptions. From Jaden Mays and Donovan Platt, both are yearlings, only 2 punts. The game did not feature many total possessions. And like Army, Lehigh made an effort to run the ball, prevented Army from absolutely overwhelming with time of possession, allowed Lehigh to play it safe, kept them competitive. Situationally, when you're down 21-7 and a bunch of 5-yard QB draws are going to get you beat, whereas downfield completions might. And then on special teams, Landon Thomas executed a glorious fake punt for 35-yard gain on Army's first possession. That was on our, 25, 30-yard line? It was deep in Army territory. Yeah. I mean, big balls Munkin coming out to play early in the season with that. And Trey Granette made all of his extra points after our 6 touchdowns. Gentlemen, I know that I kind of rambled through that a little bit. Thoughts on this? Rob, we'll start with you.
All right, so I'm gonna lead with this. I think the secondary may have reloaded a little bit faster than we thought. We'll see when they get into a little bit tougher competition that the quarterback has a better arm or better receivers. I mean, Lehigh did have that one monster receiver that was huge. He was towering over everybody.
Yeah.
He had some great catches, but even still, when there was 50-50 balls in the end zone, you know, the defensive backs came up with it. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that goes in the future. Really not happy with the pass rush. I think they could have got to him a little bit more, but I'm always hard on the front 7 because that's where I watch and focus my attention during the game. But like to see a lot of more pre-snap movement. There was some, but not as much as we've seen in the past. But again, I think that's all. It's their first week. You're not going to throw all your wrinkles at an FCS defense. So I'm assuming that those things will get added later on. I think the offense being so explosive prevented the time of possession battle from being lopsided as well. You know, both teams were running the ball fairly well, but when you're scoring points like that, you know, it gives you the opportunity. It felt as if Lehigh was getting a lot of getting a lot of third down conversions, but that wasn't the case. They were 3-9 on third down, but it just seems like they were getting all, you know, they were getting first downs a lot more often than that. And they were 1-3 on fourth down. So really they only had 4 opportunities to convert to first down, you know, that were really contentious. And then I have one comment, and I normally don't comment on the offense, but like, hey, running backs do me a big favor. Like if you're in the open field and you had the difference between like trucking somebody and running over them or cutting back and running like 30 yards, but having 15 of them be lateral, just run through the guy. Like that would be my only complaint. I'm just asking, like you don't have to, you know, I'm not going to single anybody out, but I would appreciate it because when you have a quarterback like Bryson Daly, who's trucking dudes on a regular, like we can tell when you're avoiding contact. That's all.
Yeah, are we worried about the amount of hits that Bryson took? I mean, I understand that he is a physical ball player. I got it, but he was bruising quite a bit, and I don't know if he can keep that up all season. I'm just saying.
He carried 17 times, which is not excessive. It worked out to be about 30% of the offensive carries and probably about 25% of the carries if you include the passing games. So Ray Kimball says, yes, we should be worried about hits on Bryson, but
Bison.
Dude, yeah, Bison. But he delivered some hits, and I don't know if you noticed, but he only ran – the ball one time in the first drive. Like the first drive was just Kanye Udo, or actually, it wasn't Kanye Udo, it was the other fullback.
Reed.
Well, yeah, Reed. Thank you, Hayden Reed, or Noah Short, like, and then I think Bryson took it once, and it wasn't like, I know that was by design, and you know, he carried, but 17 carries, he can carry 17 times in a game, and that's not Ahmad Bradshaw with 35
like
carries.
That I sound irrational, but just watching the game, it felt like he took a lot of hit. So
we've definitely seen Army quarterbacks carry more than that.
Sure.
But when I was watching the game, I thought that they weren't rotating the fullbacks enough, as I from where we were sitting, great seats, but not particularly close. And I couldn't tell the difference between number 6 and 8. So I didn't realize how often they were rotating Reed and Udo. But, you know, when you look at the stats, it was extremely even. Like a lot of people got a lot of touches. So
And I'll toss in on that one. Like, ideally, like if we have 4 to 5 running backs that are getting 70 to 80 yards a game, that's 1,000-yard rushers at the end of the season, right? So it's 900 yards if they get 75. So if they're between 80 and 82 yards a game, and we have 6 running backs that do that, that's 1,000 yards in the season. And, you know, again, from an offensive standpoint, you want that kind of mix up, because, like, who can you key off of? You know, for years when Jacoby Buchanan came in, you knew it was a short yardage play. You know, particularly when we were running the flex bone, everybody knew, like, hey, it's going to 33. How do we shut that down? Yeah. But now with, you know, the diversity that they showed, even with, like, not opening up the playbook that much, but having 8-9 people touch the ball, who do you defend against? Because, like, against the packages, you're like, yeah, we want to check down on the QB run because we know Daly can do it. But
okay,
when you're getting that much production, like, who do you defend, really? And then the triple option actually is a threat. But I know, Dan, you had a comment about that as well.
Yeah. Well, before we go on, Matt Scrivener asks when Bryson was injured and what happened. And I know it was a leg injury, but I don't know what caused it. I don't know if it was a hit or what. Didn't he go out during the Troy game when it was, like, raining sideways? That's my memory.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know if he, like, cracked a rib or. No,
he definitely didn't crack a rib because he came back in 2 weeks.
No, was it a lower body? I feel like he got hurt last year and the year before. I know he had a lower body injury at some point.
They had a lower body injury last year. He missed a game.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, my takes. I loved the way Cody Worley ran the offense. He and Bryson Daly obviously have a ton of trust, because it felt like, and especially watching it back, that they just ran a ton of just straight up triple option, not the same triple option over and over again. I mean, they ran the midline triple. They ran, you know, a lead option out of the shotgun. I don't think I saw speed option, but maybe they did. I mean, lead option out of the flex bone under center, like on 4th and 3, you're just going to call, all right, triple option, Bryson, just run it wherever you see it. That's an insane call. You would never see that from some previous.
No.
Offensive coordinators. They would never just be like, okay, senior quarterback, wherever you see the opening, put the ball there. But that's what they did. And, you know, the ball kept going to Noah Short, who kept running for like 20 yards a pop. So that to me was arguably the most interesting play of the entire game. Because first off, they go for it on 4th and 3 instead of kicking the field goal, when you could totally make the argument that they should exercise their field goal team. You know, they're already up, and they pick it up, and they pick it up on just a straight up midline triple. Like that's nuts. Awesome, but nuts. And so I also thought Worley used a shotgun a good bit more than I thought, but they look good running it. I mean, obviously they got a year under doing it, but every time they did it, it seemed like, because they were running so much under center, that they caught the defense flat footed, and they have so much more time to make those reads, and they're just, they were killing them. So, yeah, man. And then finally, you know, I don't remember seeing any quarterback follow plays. I don't think we saw the rocket toss. When was the last time you saw an Army game where they didn't run the quarterback follow or the rocket toss all game? I don't think we've seen that.
1999, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. So
I was 4, but.
You know, I know that there were some design fullback and quarterback runs. Like, obviously, it wasn't 100% triple, but there was a whole lot of option in this game, like a lot of actual option, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Slot backs got used a lot more. And I think, and that's good for the offense, really, because, like, it stretches the defense, right? Mm-hmm. Because they have to compensate for that. Because if you're all sucked in trying to stop the QB power or the dive play, then the edge is set. And when the edge got set, like, there were huge gains. And so yeah. I appreciate, you know, and that's by design. That's what you do. You know, you like you blow them to sleep with the fullback dive and then you run the option and then everybody's like, oh crap, the guy just went that way. You know, so I think by design, it was a well called game as well as a well executed game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that they had things that they wanted to work on going into the game, and it very much felt like they worked on them. And each drive, if you go back and look at it, looks a little different than the other drives, which is mm-hmm. nuts. I mean, that's just crazy. So
yeah, Dan, something you said is interesting. You know, that we saw more triple option last yeah. week than we have in years.
Years.
And it's funny because 18 months ago, give or take, you know, everybody decried the death of the triple option, and the triple option is dead. Munkin's lost his mind. This is the worst thing ever. Oh, but like everyone thought the world ended, and now here we are. We're seeing more triple option than we ever saw under Brent Davis. And you know, yeah. not good, not bad. I just think it's an interesting, you know, how the turntables, if you will, of you know this move to make us more competitive. Everyone was scared, which I get it. Change is scary, change is hard. But because of that, it's actually enabled us to run more true option than we were before.
So Davis, I felt like if you go back and watch the games in the 2016 season, he called more option and certainly he made more use of those outside running plays. Mm-hmm. But then when Bradshaw had such an amazing 2017 season, it just seemed like he was hypnotized by yeah. the success of those midline plays along with the rocket sweep. And that's really the way the offense just kind of kept moving and moving and moving. Mm-hmm. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Interesting take. Let's do our fact or fiction review. Mainly because I got all four right. I said fiction on all four. I was a pessimist, and all four of them were fiction. So as a reminder, we said Bryson Daly leaves for the end of the first half. That was fiction. Army will pass in less for 50 yards. That was fiction. Army runs for 400 plus. Fiction. And Army.
We just needed like another 5 minutes of game time and we would have hit that one.
Well, but Dan, if you had 60 minutes, that's it. And then Army pass for over 200 yards. Fiction. So Jordan and James were spot on last week. Just want to go ahead and throw that out there. Not that I'm bitter that I came in last in the picks and games of the lock or whatever the hell it was like 3 years ago. Now, you know, every little win is precious to me. So
nice.
Anyway, I don't have a segue for this one. Dano, why don't you take us through our next sponsor?
Friends, if you've listened to this show before, you know that Craig Oxane is the sponsor of As for Football. He is the vice president of residential lending for New American Funding in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point Network, class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Guys, the mortgage process is confusing. Interest rates move all over the place. You got to sign all this paperwork. We talk about this all the time. You know, it's like you want to deal with a person who cares about you when you're doing a life-changing event like buying a house. And instead, most banks just give you their AI system. Good luck with that. And we're trying to introduce you to a person that's going to work with you, who's going to walk you through this process, the process which actually sucks. And he's, you know, going to try to help you get the best deal he can on your mortgage, which your mortgage is going to be one of the most expensive things you ever buy, guys, ladies, whoever. So, and this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're trying to introduce you to the guy who's going to get you the best deal on a mortgage that he possibly can. And finally, you know, Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans. It's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. Get that money. Just do yourself a favor and get that money. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding. His link is on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com, click the little business card, fill out a questionnaire. You will be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. And as we will talk about later, Craig is throwing a tailgate this week down at FAU. If you are going, he wants to invite you because he's an Army fan, but also I'm sure he'd like to sell you a mortgage. But it's just go to his tailgate, like for real. And we'll talk about that more.
Yeah. Hey, you know, my shameless plug for Craig is, you know, the Fed is expected to cut rates here at their next meeting in a couple of weeks. Mortgage rates are going to come down. There's going to be a lot of movement that's happening. You want someone on your side. I've seen, you know, some lenders already talk about, hey, we've already baked the, you know, the rate cut into our rates. Like there's a lot going on, a lot of movement that's going to happen over the next few months between rate cuts and elections and things like that. So someone like Craig really knows what's going on, that they're aware of the situation, that they're, you know, they're here to be on your side, and you want someone that you can trust, especially as things become more turbulent over the next few months. So
give Craig. And it's invaluable because there's the opportunity for unscrupulous people to, you know, make a killing off you if you're really not paying attention. James Mercano says, I hope I go to that tailgate. James, I saw your note, man. I'm going to get back to you right after this. You're definitely going to that tailgate.
Good deal. All right. Hey, well, let's talk FAU. Army's going down to Boca Raton, Florida to take on the Owls. Tom Herman, no longer at Texas, fun fact. His second year at FAU, went 4-8 last year, 3-5 in the American. They opened with a tough road loss to Michigan State, 16-10. The game overall was very sloppy. 17 total penalties for 195 yards, 4 fumbles, 4 interceptions, 5 turnovers. FAU had a very real chance to win in the fourth quarter, and the defense played really well. Before we talk about the offense, Dan, I want to unpack this a little bit because my initial gut reaction was, oh, crap. FAU almost beat Michigan State.
Yeah.
But then when you look at it as, well, Michigan State is not the Michigan State of a few years ago. I know that they kind of struggled. When we look at this, is this alarm bells, or are we kind of taking this with a little bit of a grain of salt?
Well, so that's an interesting question, and I don't know straight up, but I will tell you that Michigan State quarterback Aiden Childs is terrible. You know, he threw for like 45% completion percentage with a fumble and 2 picks. You know, that is Daniel Jones in his worst season with the Giants bad. Like, or it is not.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah. Yeah. For real. For real. Yeah. That is Florida State levels of not getting it done at the quarterback position. So it's not like they have a bad team. Like, I don't think their offensive line sucks. You know, they've got the one really good running back, K-Ron. I forget what his last name is. You know, that MSU has a great pass rush that I don't think Army's necessarily going to be able to replicate. So I'm not saying that they're terrible or anything like that, but my man threw 2 just disastrous picks, you know, 1 to like center field, and the guy absolutely just fielded it. And it was awful. And he threw another one at the goal line that I understand what he was trying to do, but you just can't put the ball there because the DB jumped the route, ran it back 48 yards.
Yeah. And just, you know, for some additional context, you know, Michigan State went 4-8 last year, third year not qualifying for a bowl game, got a new coach halfway through the year last year, got a new coach this year. So,
it's a Power 5 program in Michigan with as many star players as you want, but they don't have a quarterback. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not talking about Michigan State. We're talking about FAU.
Yeah.
And what's the offense looking like?
So FAU, Fort Atlantic, has a gamer at a quarterback, Cam Fancher. Man, Fancher was the whole reason that this game was as interesting as it was. He went 12 of 25 passing for 116 yards, which is only 48%. But he was under pressure, like I said. He had a touchdown, 2 interceptions, took 7 sacks, fumbled once, took a safety. Like, he did everything. Fancher... like, I admire the way he plays the game, but this is not the dude who's going to throw it away and punt and play for the next possession. He's going to run around, try to make something happen, force the play. Like, he's not on the ground until he's on the ground. Also ran 25 times for 67 yards, but when you adjust for those sacks, it worked out to be 18 carries for 96 yards, about 5 yards per carry. He was running all over the place against MSU. He's transferred from Marshall. So last year at Marshall, he went 202 of 308 passing, about 66% for 2,162 yards, but 11 TDs, 11 interceptions, and 27 sacks.
Yikes.
Yeah. So I'm just telling you, like, he's not throwing the ball away. Like, this, the one thing I promise you will not see is Cam Fancher just throw the ball away because it's not there. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll run. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get sacks on him. I'm not even saying he's going to get he's going to throw interceptions. The dude does not throw the ball away. Running backs, they've got 2, Zuberi Mobley and CJ Campbell Jr. They seem to use them pretty interchangeably. 22 carries total, 65 yards, 3 catches, 9 total yards. Mobley fumbled once. I don't know what to make out of that against Michigan State's defense. I mean, I thought Michigan State's defense played pretty well. And then wide receivers Omari Hayes and Jayshon Platt, collectively 7 catches, 95 yards, 1 touchdown to Platt. One thing I will say is this game had 27 total possessions, 10 punts, all those turnovers, multiple turnovers on downs. Like, this game had everything. It was a circus. Like, it was everything. So take that for what it's worth.
Rob, defensively, what did they show us last week?
All right, so they have a solid defensive line. I mean, there's nobody's gonna complain about how well their defensive line played. Everybody gets involved. They have one of the coolest names in a linebacker that I've ever seen, Jackson Ambush. I mean, that's pretty legit. You know, like, if I was going to be a linebacker, my last name being Ambush was awesome. He had 10 tackles, 5 solo, and 1 tackle for loss. They had 5 guys with 5 tackles apiece. So the defense was spreading around. Everybody was getting involved. Outside the one long run by Michigan State's running back, K'Ron Lynch Adams, FAU held MSU to just 36 carries for 116 yards, at 3.2 yards per carry. FAU's defense forced 6 punts, which is pretty good. Finished with a total of 1 sack, 5 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, a fumble recovery, 2 picks from defensive back Kazir Brown and Philip Dunham. Both were terrible picks, not so much because the defensive backs were in great position. It was just terrible throws by Aiden Childs again. You know, hate to dunk on that guy, but he is not good. Michigan State made a lot of unforced errors, but FAU was at least able to apply enough pressure to create turnovers and keep the game close. And in the special teams, Morgan Suarez had 1 field goal for 43, but I think that's like the very, very edge of his range. And I know that was one of the things that FAU is concerned about, is, you know, getting close enough to actually get good field goals in, because they knew that that may have been the difference in the game. And then punter Logan Lupo punted 4 times for a total of 180 yards. So that's about 45 yards a punt, which is not bad. So if you're flipping the field, good for you. But the longest punt he had was 54 yards, had 1 touchback. They had 1 kick down inside the 20-yard line. And a wide receiver, Omari Hayes, had 3 punt returns for 21 yards. So, you know, the bottom line is defensively, they are good. But it's really, really hard to tell when you have such terrible quarterback play, because, like, when you give the ball away that much, like, any defense is going to look great when you have bad passes and fumbles. So it's hard to really gauge. I think this week will probably be a better test of how FAU is going to look, both in the American against competition, and we'll see who can make the best halftime adjustments, because I think that's really going to be the difference in the game, is who coaches better.
It's worth wondering, you know, like, is Boston College that good that they beat up Florida State, or was Florida State out there making a bunch of unforced errors, and probably some of both? But I feel like that's kind of what we saw in this game too. I'm not saying that these guys aren't good. Like, they got good players. You know, FAU and Michigan State both have a ton of good players, but this game was sloppy.
Yeah. Army opened as a 3.5 underdog. It slid to Army +3 and then slid back to 3.5. Over-under's at 43, so they're expecting a relatively low-scoring game. Temps are expected in the lower 90s. Plenty of humidity, 60% chance of rain. It is not going to be a fun game for the boys from New York. But we'll see what happens. Rob, what – I know you gave us some of your takes, but what do you think overall going into this game?
Yeah, just on defense, it's going to come down to how much pressure the defensive ends and the linebackers can get on Fancher, because, again, he'll put the ball on the turf or he'll throw an interception if you get enough pressure on him. The way that I kind of view him is, like, if you watched the Florida State-BC game, Castellanos showed a lot of maturity in that game. But Fancher looks like Castellanos played last year, like, just holding on to the ball and running it, you know, when there's guys open, and he's making decisions that, you know, a running quarterback, a run first quarterback would do. And I think that advantages Army so long as they can keep the outside contained. You know, that's the thing with running quarterbacks. If you can keep the outside, you know, the outside contained, you've got a good chance of winning. But I don't see Fancher beating Army with his arm. I see him beating the Army with his legs if he's able to get going. And that's my concern, at least going into this game.
Yeah, Rob, I don't disagree with you. I think we've at times struggled with that, you know, very dynamic quarterback who kind of gets outside the pocket. It's a blessing and a curse, right? If you have a quarterback who can run and make plays with their legs, they tend to make riskier decisions with the ball downfield. Yeah. And I know, you know, we have some ball hawks in the secondary traditionally. So I feel like we know more about Army coming out of the first game, which is good. Obviously still some unknowns. Didn't really open up the playbook as much as we maybe would want. We as fans would have wanted to see in week one. But I feel like just the way FAU played kind of creates a lot more questions in terms of what to expect and from them, but then also how we're going to react to it. So, Rob, to your point, halftime adjustments are going to be key. And I think we can probably expect some different things from Army, probably, you know, come out in a shotgun quite a bit, but you know, we might see the rocket sweep come back, Dan. So
that's fine. I love that play. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the key is for the defense containing Fancher. I believe that the offense will find a way to run the ball. But if he starts running for 5 yards a pop, then it's going to be very hard for them to, you know, continue maintaining containment down the field. Whereas if they can contain him in the pocket and force him to distribute the football, I don't know that I think he's going to necessarily drive them down the field with his arm with consistent throws. I mean, mm-hmm. two picks and one fumble last week, plus he took a safety, 27 sacks a year ago, as many touchdowns as interceptions. There's a reason why this dude left Marshall. I mean, he is the anti Chad Pennington. He's going to force it, make something happen every time, you know, for better and worse. Saw that last week. I think you're going to see that again this week. I just think that that's who he is. And I mean, if he is on your team, if you're an FAU fan, you love this guy. Because how can you not? Like, this dude is going to lay it all out on the field. Mm-hmm. But there's a strategy here, right? Just keep this guy contained and you know, let your offense do what it does. The fact that it's 100 degrees means that if they turn it over and you don't turn it over, you're good.
Yeah. The time of possession is probably going to play a factor. I mean, it always plays a factor, but especially with it being 100 degrees, you know, sitting on the sidelines baking in the Florida sun is not where you want your offense to be. You want them out on the field making plays. And if, you know, he's making mistakes, Army's getting the ball, and we're, you know, moving down the field, wearing their defense out, and their offense is sitting there baking like a sweet potato, it's not going to be a good game, but we'll see what happens. All right, let's start doing some fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
As usual, I have not prepared. So those of you in the Firstie Club, if you have any suggestions on a fact or fiction, I would really appreciate that in the next like 48 seconds so I don't have to make something up. Dan, thank you for not putting me first in the outline. We're going to go to Rob first. Rob, what do you got?
All right. So I'm going to ride this train until it either hits or it doesn't. So Army throws for less than 55 yards this week. So
less than or greater than?
Yeah. More than, right?
Or less than 55 yards. I'm going to stick with less than.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Kept it in wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, they got me last week, man. It was 52 was the total. So we were almost there, but I'm going to stay with less than 55 yards.
Is it less than or equal to, or just less than?
So if they, yeah. So if 55 is a push and nobody wins.
Yeah, that's fair. Then it's
back. Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right. I will take, you know what? I'm going to say fact, Army throws for less than 55 yards, because I think that FAU secondary is very good. Obviously they are a bunch of ball hawks too. I think you got to run the ball. It's going to be 100 degrees out there. You got to run the ball.
I'm taking fiction. Fiction did not fail me last week. We're going fiction.
All right. mine.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I was going to say, FAU had a good run defense last week. I think we're going to need to throw it to kind of loosen things up a little bit. I don't think we're going to throw for like 300 yards, but, you know, maybe like 57.
Nice.
I like Brendan Jones. Fancher over 50 yards rushing. That's a good one. All right. So mine is Army's defense gets a total of 3 sacks and or forced fumbles. So that is 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 sack, 2 forced fumbles, 3 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, whatever. 3 total of either of those statistics.
Ooh, I'm gonna say James. Okay.
James, I'm sorry. I called James. James is in the air.
Yeah. James is flying around. All right. So I'm going to say fact. I'm going to take that action. I think they're definitely going to get to Fancher this week. I think like the lack of defensive scheme that we saw was probably more of a not putting things on film against the FCS opponent than it was, you know, not having the ability to do it. I think it was just we're going to be conservative and we'll blitz if we have to. I think that's a smart play. So you're not opening up the playbook too much and showing too much of your scheme on film. So yeah. I'm gonna say Army's gonna get to the quarterback, so they'll get three of that combination.
Okay, Jordan.
I will agree with Rob on this fact.
All right, let's go fact agreement and say that the bad boys come through and look like the bad boys of old this week. I do think that Army has a good linebacking core right now, and I know that they rotated a lot of kids in last week, and I think that they put a better product on the field this week. And if they don't, we got some trouble.
All right. Well, Brendan, I'm going to go ahead and take your fact or fiction, and that was Fancher has over 50 yards of rushing. Dan, what do you think?
I say fact, unfortunately.
Yeah. Sadly, that's going to be a fact as well.
Yeah, I think we have another unfortunate fact agreement.
I mean, to be honest with you, they could give up 10 carries to Fancher for 5 yards a pop. That's even kind of likely. And at the end of the day, you're like, you know, why is this game close? And how did Army win? Because they only gave up 50 yards. And I mean, if your choice is he scrambles for 5 yards a few times, or he hits one 50 yard passing play, you probably would rather take a bunch of 5 yard scrambles with the way the defense is.
Yeah. I'll take that bet. Yeah, all right. Hey, well, if you like Army football or ask for football and you want to support our coverage of Army sports in the American Conference, we could use your help through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/askforfootball to learn more, or askforfootball.com. There are links on the website, as I said. At the yearling level, you get our games and locks of the week. At the Cal level, you get that plus our scouting report. And at the firstie level, you get that plus access to the firstie club, our Facebook group for all our top level patrons. Best place to talk about Army football. All super hard, super fans. We try hard to keep it positive, and it's a private group. Firsties also get access to live show recordings like this one. So if you want to help me continue to procrastinate and not prepare and suggest a fact or fiction, become a patron, and you can be part of the chat as we're recording this. The reality is we spent a lot of money over the last few years trying to improve the show. We're on StreamYard. We have Podcastle AI. We have regular recording times so folks can join us live. All that takes time and money, and that's why we need your support. So if you enjoy Ask for Football or Army Football, please consider becoming a patron. Dano, I believe you have the favorite thing for this week.
Yeah, so I talked about this before. Craig texted me over the weekend, and he was like, "Hey, I'm throwing a huge tailgate this week for the game. Are you coming down?" And I felt really bad because my wife and I had been talking about going down, but honestly, with two kids in college, we just couldn't swing it this year. College is expensive. Take that for what it's worth. But if you'd like to, if you're going, if you're going to be down there and you would like to go hook up with Craig, he has authorized me to give you his phone number. So reach out to me, reach out to Ask for Football. I will hook you up with Craig. You'll be at the tailgate. I hope he sells you a mortgage, but even if he just gives you a beer, that's pretty awesome. So that's it.
Absolutely.
Tailgate thrower.
Thank you, Dano. Ray Kimball from the Firstie Club says, become a patron, reinforce Jordan's bad habits. Ray, I'm going to put that on a t-shirt, and I'm going to wear that to Army Navy. So, Rob, any last minute notes for us?
Yeah, just continue to check out the College Football Roundtable. We put that together, and that one's an open show, so you don't even have to be a member of the Firstie Club. So if you're cheap, you can still join and tell your friends. But it's a good show. I think we've kind of nailed it down. We've got the format good to where it's a much smoother show than it has been in previous seasons. And we really, really enjoy just providing some analysis because we watch a lot of games. Like, my lovely bride wants to hit me in the head because I watch so much football on Saturdays. But hey, it's for work.
Yeah.
I gave Sally that one too. Now I'm working this weekend. Huh. How many beers do you drink when you work? Well, a couple.
Yeah.
It's part of the process, right? It's part of the creative process.
Yeah, for sure.
Good deal. Gentlemen, appreciate the time this week. Listeners, thank you for the time. Go Army, beat FAU.
Beat them.
Made them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, cheering in the stands, following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy.